Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host, Tony Martinetti. What a coincidence I found this show. If you think your nonprofit is left out of consulting conversations, left out in terms of fees that get charged, press and media, if you generally feel that you don't get the attention that your small and mid-sized nonprofit deserves, you have a home here at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Last week was an archive edition because I was at the National Conference for Philanthropic Planning doing interviews. I'm going to talk later about that on Tony's Take Two. But last week we had Regina Walton from Organic Social Media, and she explained and shared with us why you should be online, how to get started online, and how to manage your nonprofit's reputation online. Also in last week's edition, John Murcott from Karma 411, he shared how smart and simple online fundraising can build your relationships and unlock dollars for your nonprofit. This week, smart sales training strategies to kickstart your fundraising. My guest is Larry Sharp, the director of NeoSage, and he is going to share with us corporate sales lessons to help your nonprofit's fundraising. It's a full, we're for a full hour of fundraising this show with Larry Sharp. And around the half hour on Tony's Take Two, which is exactly at 1:32, I'm going to share some notes from the National Conference on Philanthropic Planning. I did a lot of exciting, interesting interviews at that conference last week, which was in Florida, and they'll be coming up on shows in the future, and I'll talk a little about those on Tony's Take Two, and also a conference that I have coming up, Next Gen Charity Conference in November. All that on Tony's Take Two. After this break, Larry Sharp for a full hour of fundraising. Stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm joined now by Larry Sharp. Larry's the director of NeoSage on the web. That's NEO-SAGE.com. And he's going to share smart sales training strategies to kickstart your fundraising, a full hour of fundraising tips from Larry Sage. Larry is the director of NeoSage, an influence training center in New York. His clients learn how to sell, fundraise, network, and influence effectively. He's the director of special projects for the World Energy Forum and a guest instructor at Columbia's Graduate School of Business. And I'm very glad that Larry's practice brings him to the show today and to the studio. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you.
Larry, sales for nonprofits. Sales has sales and sometimes marketing have sort of a pejorative connotation, a negative connotation. Should nonprofits be thinking about salesmanship?
That's a great question. And the reality is, you're right. Most people who work in the nonprofit world, they're helpers, they're healers, they're crusaders, they're find the right word. They want to do the right thing and save the world. That's great. But the problem with that is that's often directly against the idea of making money in business. So while you absolutely need these people, there's no nonprofit world without them. You've got to have them. You also have to have the money part. You've got to have the business guy or the money guy somewhere in there. And that's the sales and marketing guy, which often is a problem. You're right. The nonprofit world worries about that. So their answer usually is, well, I'm so passionate about this problem, this issue, this concern, I'm going to try to somehow infuse the person on the other end of the phone or in front of me or through my letter with that same passion.
Mm-hmm.
And please, please, please give me money. Please give me money.
Because we're all passionate about this cause.
That's correct. The problem is that is traditional begging for money, which if you're very well known or have a large marketing budget or big footprint, that may be okay. When you're a small not-for-profit, nobody cares. As sad as that is, if it isn't my issue, I don't really care. And if I have enough money to give, I probably already have a larger not-for-profit I'm giving to. So you, as a nonprofit, have to change the way you think. This is very hard. Let me try to get this out so that the nonprofit people here don't have a heart attack.
What stands in their way? Yeah.
They have to stop thinking that they are begging for money. They have to stop thinking that they are enforcing the agenda of their donors. They're enforcing the agenda of the people who want this issue or concern dealt with. If you're trying to, you know, take kids to art, if that's your charity, if you're trying to save a certain type of animal, if you're trying to move energy in a certain direction, whatever it is, you have to act like, hey, I'm out there doing this. You want it done. Someone's got to pay for it. It's got to be you. I'm enforcing your agenda. I'm enforcing your will. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm actually not a nonprofit. I'm not a charity. I'm an association. I'm like a lobbyist. I'm an association trying to get your agenda pushed, trying to get your will moved forward.
Now, I'm going to have to change the name of the show now.
To what?
Tony Martinetti Associate. Radio?
I love it. There we go.
No, I can't do that.
That's right.
We're invested in this. All right,
now, I'm not saying you want to use those words, of course. You want to still keep the culture of your organization. But your thought process should be, we are serving our donor base versus we are serving the actual people that we're giving the money to or providing the service to. It is an entirely different mindset.
We're doing this for you, sort of on your behalf.
Yes, exactly. It's a whole different way. If they do that, all of a sudden what will happen is their language will change. The language will change from things like, please give us money to save the kids, to, hey, you want the kids saved? So do we. To do that, we need X dollars. Write us a check so we can do this. You want it too. And of course, they'll use their own language. But that feeling all of a sudden makes me feel like, yeah, I'm part of the team.
Right. You want it too. We're in this together.
Yes.
We're doing the work for you, as I already said, on your behalf.
And you hope that this will get the actual donors to not just write the check and walk away. What you really want the donor to do is write the check and feel part of the team.
Oh, of course.
If they do that, they start talking about it, they start getting other people, they volunteer. It's such a better way of moving your nonprofit forward.
And I'm glad we've got a full hour to explore this because, absolutely, you spend so much time getting a donor.
Sure.
You don't want to have to spend that time again to replace them when they write you just one check or come to just one event and then you never hear from them again or, well, hopefully this doesn't happen, they don't hear from you again.
Ah, yes.
The time, right? The time invested in getting a brand new donor is extraordinary.
Sure.
Why do that multiple times when you don't need to?
And the second part is if they really become part of the team, you don't have to spend so much time getting the second donor because they'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to spend so much time getting volunteers because they'll help you.
My guest is Larry Sharp, director at NeoSage, and we're talking a full hour of fundraising. Larry, of course, is staying with me after this break. I hope you do too.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
I'm joined by Larry Sharp, director at NeoSage, NEO-SAGE.com. We're here to find out whether Larry really is. Is he a new sage? Has he brought sagaciousness to the studio? We're finding out this hour around fundraising. And he's already shared sort of the way to reorient your thinking around fundraising. Let's get into some of the details. Larry, how can nonprofits start to implement a different way of thinking? Let's just start with their just conversations, face-to-face conversations they might have with a donor on the phone. Let's not do telemarketing yet, but just on the phone or in an event. How do we reorient the thinking to our conversations?
The most important thing we want to talk about, and this is the sad, what we don't do, what most not-for-profits do is discuss the need. They spend a lot of time talking about the need. This is a problem. Oh, my God, this is a problem. The world is ending. These kids are dying. The fish are dying. The animal's dying. Whatever's dying, and bad things are happening. While that's not bad to start, you always want to end on a positive piece, and that's what isn't done. What happens is they say, the world's ending. Oh, my God, we have to do something. You should help us. Versus saying, the world's ending, blah, 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 and here's a success story. There's the critical piece that's often missing. People don't want to be part of a problem. They want to be part of a solution. Mm-hmm. So express as a need, a problem. Kids are sick. Animals are dying. The economy is being destroyed. The environment is being destroyed. Whatever is your issue. But you know what? Here's some success we've had. Here's how we've made things better. There is a bright side right here. And that gets someone to say, really? How? Really? Wow. That seems awesome. That draws the person in. The problem is we're so busy trying to show people the need, we're not giving them the positive side of, but we're doing something great. We begin to feel like there's an interesting concept. If you're always around, you know, poverty and hard, you find some aid workers sometimes who come back from Africa or Southeast Asia or some very depressed economy. They come back and they'll tell you, the world's ending, the world's full of pain, everything's horrible. No one wants to be around them. Mm. But they should come back and say, okay, the world's terrible things. But look what we did. We saved 25 kids, or we saved 25 animals, or we, you know, lowered the carbon emissions, or whatever is your charity. And then everyone goes, wow, that sounds great. So the critical piece in a conversation is discuss the issue, but then talk about the positive things that are happening. Show the success stories. Show the light. That makes me want to come to you.
Yeah, and I think that second part, you're right, is not emphasized. A lot of fundraisers will say that the hook, the need is the hook.
Right.
And it sounds like you're saying, indeed it is, but go a step further and be positive how you're helping to solve that need.
Yes, the issue is people think, and this is a big problem, they think that donors give because they want to save the X. No. Donors give for very different reasons, all different types of reasons. Most of them very selfish. Most of them are very selfish why people give, and people don't get that. They want to feel powerful. They want to feel good. They want to feel like they're doing something. They want to get recognition, things of that sort. That's a very big reason why people give. It's not just because they want to save the whales or save the kids or save the environment. It could be because they want to feel good.
Yeah.
You know, an interesting story. I worked for a couple of nonprofits, and one of them was doing a training course for smaller nonprofits. And during the training course, one person was upset. And the person said, because when I do this event, this person wants to come and have a booth at my event and sell his book. And I said, okay, why are you upset? Well, you know, he donates $12,000, but you know what? I don't want him doing this and making money, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, he gives you $12,000, right? Yes. Why do you care? What do you do at $12,000? We do a lot with kids. So why do you care? In fact, you know what you should do? Tell him if he wants to be exclusive, he's got to pay you 20. Otherwise, he's going to put two more people next to him selling books.
Okay.
That's what you do. And let three people sell books there and get $36,000 and save your kids. Or give one guy 20 and save your kids. Stop thinking the person who gives has to be as passionate as you. They don't. They have to write the check. They have to see value in your organization. If that guy's selling books every single year you do this event, he'll give you $12,000 every year without complaining. Why are you mad?
Right.
So what we have to worry about when it comes to our donor base is caring about our donor base, not caring about the people or animals or environment we're trying to save. Care about the donor base. Make it about them. You will see all of a sudden it all shoot up. Okay. The money will just start coming.
Right. While you're thinking about fundraising. I mean, of course,
yes.
The need and the work is paramount, but fundraising is a very, very close second to executing our program, whatever it
is. Yes, I'm sorry. Let me be very clear about that. Absolutely. This is only when you're talking about fundraising, of course. Right. We don't want to sacrifice the value of the actual not-for-profit just to make money.
You're
absolutely correct, yes.
All right. Let's dive in a little into some detail. How about direct mail?
Mm-hmm.
That may be a piece that's devoted to fundraising, or it could be a newsletter, direct mail. What advice do you have around direct
mail? Absolutely. Generally speaking, you do not want to ask for that random amount of money more than once a year.
So now you're talking about a direct mail appeal.
Yes.
A personalized letter. Hopefully doesn't say, dear friend. I mean, I think you'd want the fundraising pieces to be personalized.
Absolutely.
But that's the mail that you're talking about right now, that individualized piece.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I really would hope that with today's market, there's printers out there who can easily personalize everything. If you're listening, you're saying to yourself, I don't have a database like that. Trust me, there are tons of people who can personalize your mailing. If you do that, you get the mailing out there, you want your plea to be generally yearly, almost like a membership. You don't have to use that word if you don't want to. It depends upon the culture of your charity. If you are a membership-type charity, use that word. If not, who cares? Whatever. But you want to ask for the big hit yearly, whether that's the $500, $1,000, $10,000, whatever that is. That's the one big hit yearly that you want from the person. The person should feel like, I wrote my big check. I'm set. I'm part of the team. Not now. Next year is the next time I have to write my big check again. Now, there's an exception here. You can now begin to ask for more money throughout the year, but not the quarterly, you know, fundraising. That is really impersonal, really annoying, and has turned many people off.
And it's on the nonprofit's schedule.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's exactly right, Tony. Perfect.
Let me just remind people, my guest is Larry Sharp, director of NeoSage, and we're spending a full hour with your fundraising sales training techniques to kickstart your fundraising. Larry, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please. Of course. You're totally right, Tony. It's the issue here is nonprofits are, again, thinking about themselves. So they want to raise money every quarter. Nice. But instead, think about the donor. Do the once a year, you owe me a big hit because you're part of my membership, be part of the team. Got it. No problem. Whenever that should be done, I don't know. Depends upon the calendar of the nonprofit. Mm-hmm. But then quarterly, you want to do targeted specifically to that individual. For example, let's say your charity deals with, I'm going to make up, kids with cancer, right? Whatever. So maybe you decide that these people, you figure out through the surveying or asking or internet surveying or check boxes on your mailer, however you decide to get that data, what are they specifically interested in? They're interested in this piece, that piece, this piece. So you say, you know what? This year we're taking the kids who have cancer to Disney World, whatever that is, and we have to raise money for that. Send that to those people who checked, you know, make a wish for cancer, whoever checked that one. Those people get that specific mailing saying, please give us money for this specific trip, for this specific issue.
Yes. You want us to segment.
Exact, perfect word. Yes. Segment. Beautiful. I want you to segment. I'm going to steal your word. I want you to segment.
We have jargon jail on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, but I don't think this is jargon. I think everybody understands segmenting. So there's a reprieve, if anybody was wondering, especially since I'm the one who brought the word up. So I never put myself in jargon jail. It doesn't happen. So you can keep listening, but that won't happen.
There we
go. No, go ahead. Please, Larry. Segmentation.
So once we do that, now what happens is I'm giving because I see a result. I now see what's happening. I'm making a difference.
And in what I'm specifically interested in.
Yes. I want to see happy kids, you know, before they pass with cancer. Maybe it's in my family. Maybe someone I know. It's close to me. Maybe I didn't get something when I was a kid. Whatever. It affects me. That's why I care about that. So now I'm going to drop my $1,000, $500, whatever that is, to help these kids go to Disney World. Now, here's a critical piece. When the next quarter you're asking me for more money, there better be pictures of that trip. There better be details of that trip. I need to see what I did.
Outcomes.
Absolutely. Right. I want to see those happy kids. I want to see smiling kids. I want to see them hugging Mickey Mouse. I want all those things to make me feel good because the next quarter when you ask me for the next trip, I'll write another check. Yeah. Again and again and again.
And we are seeing within the past, say, 4 or 5 years or so, a much greater emphasis on donors learning the outcomes.
Yes.
And charities being accountable. And mm-hmm. some charities do it quantitatively.
Yep.
I often use the example of Charity Water. They have a very good website where you can see on a global map where your money was spent and how deep the well is in the community in South Africa that they drilled and what the outcome, how many people in that community were helped. I mean, that's one example. But
it's a great example.
Outcomes, critical.
Yes. And we also, then the next piece in this whole concept is we do not want to do what so many charities do and make it broad-based. There are 14 million children with this problem. 10,000 kids every day have this. 90,000 whales every year do so-and-so, whatever. That's nice to maybe start the juices flowing.
Right, right.
But you have to make it an individual.
Yeah, where did my money go?
Yes.
90,000 whales. Which one did my $150,000 help?
Yes, absolutely. They want to know. It was Emma, that whale right there. That's yes. The one. You know, we tagged her and saved her calf. Yes, thanks to you helping pay for the boat that went out there and did it. Yes, I want to feel that. I want to say, yeah, that's my boat. I'm putting money on my boat. I better keep paying or my boat won't go out there and help the Emmas of the world. Of course.
We're talking about this critical segmentation, Larry, and I just want to remind people that several shows ago we had Tim Kennan on from McVicker and Higginbotham, which is a print shop and letter shop, and they do that type of work, and print shops and letter shops generally, as Larry said, are sophisticated enough to help you segment sure. your database once you've gotten the data collected to segment it. And that's really where I'd like to go. Let's spend a few minutes. How do we talking about how we collect this mm-hmm. data in order to do the segmentation that you're recommending?
Actually, the print company can assist you there also, because maybe if you have a yearly ask or whatever the case may be, within your yearly ask, on the sheet where they fill out $500, $1,000, $200, whatever they're filling out, you also say, and you are interested in, check all that apply. Yes. And just that right there will help you do it. There's also something called, and I hope it's not, it's a Pearl, a personal URL. And a lot of print shops can do that also, where they send it out and you go to a specific website just for them, you know, xcharity.com/Tony M.
Yes, I've seen those in direct mail pieces that I've gotten.
There we go. You right. can click there and you fill your survey out right there. You know, I'm interested in Emma the Whale and Bobby the Fish and Jimmy the Shark. All right? That's what I care about. And whatever the case may be. So you care about, as an example, maybe you care about the shark fin soup issue. Right? Everyone's cutting the shark fins off yes. and killing the sharks. Right? That's what you care about. Okay, great. So the next time we do a campaign to help stop that, I can guarantee you're getting a letter and I want $500. But maybe you don't care about emitter whale. Maybe you care about the sharks. It doesn't matter. What I'm worried about is what you care about, not what I care about.
So a personalized URL,
mm-hmm.
And really just aside from knowing what that specific donor is interested in, the charity now knows that that donor is interested enough to go from the mail piece or the email to click through to the personal URL. So we've got them. We know we have that donor at least at the threshold.
Yes, absolutely. And here's the next piece. You also find out what pieces are important to your donor base. Let's say you find that nobody cares about shark fin soup. I'm making that up, right? I have no idea if anyone cares. But let's say that your donor base, you send out, you know, your letters, you get 1,000 back. We hope you have that many donors. I hope so, right? And out of the 1,000, 10 care about the sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe either you shouldn't publicize them so much, or maybe the reverse. Maybe you need a better campaign to get people to care. This gives you some insight in what you're doing,
yeah,
right? Maybe you should say, you know what? I should stop doing this. I should take this part of my charity away. Give it to a specialized charity because my people don't care about it. Or the reverse. No one cares. What am I doing? I need an outreach program to get people to understand this is an important issue.
This data is very, very valuable.
100%.
Especially in the example you just mentioned, it's so small, but there's another charity that does this work so well.
Yes.
Maybe, and especially in the midst of a recession, which I hope is ending soon, but we're still in it. Mm-hmm. Maybe not technically, but everybody who's not an economist thinks we're still in the recession. When... nonprofits have to be more efficient.
Yes.
Maybe one of their tasks, one of their programs isn't one that they're doing the best and isn't one that their constituents are that interested in, and they can shift that program elsewhere.
Absolutely. And maybe even swap donors.
Yeah.
Maybe even do a joint, you know, event. Who knows how you can do this? So there's an important piece. So I hope that's clear on the direct yeah. mailing side.
Let's talk a little more about what you might include in a reply device. I mean, I'm always telling our clients that every direct mail piece should come with some kind of reply device for someone, for the recipient to ask for more information, tell them that they've already included the organization in their estate plan, which is the type of fundraising consulting that we do. What else can we include in a direct mail piece to get people to share information
yeah.
with us?
There are several things. The first thing you want to do is you want to make sure you give them something, some type of gift in a certain way. And that a gift could be like a tchotchke. Could be that. Could be, you know, a pin. Pins, believe it or not, are very powerful.
Really? So you like the little gifts?
Oh, pins are so... Because pins tell people I'm part of the crew. I'm part of the team. Little lapel pins and that kind of thing. Mm. Very powerful. They're great. Or really detailed, specific information. Insider information that no one else knows. These two things are very powerful. They feel it's a gift. Oh, I want to give back.
So maybe an insider newsletter?
If it's a newsletter, it can't just be, here's what's going on at the charity. Nobody reads that.
Yeah.
You're fooling yourself. Nobody reads that. If it's, here's something you don't know. Here's something nobody but our members know. Here's something happening in the secret, you know, vaults of power. Something like that. Yes, people read that. If it's that type of insider information, great. Or if it's something that could be a story directed towards them, like the story about the kids going to see Mickey Mouse. That's a positive story. Something like that. But if it's just, here's what's happening on our charity, nobody reads that.
And that's also very consistent with sort of traditional fundraising wisdom, which can often be wrong, but in this case, it's consistent with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sharing more detailed information with your better donors.
Yes.
So how to induce someone from giving $500 a year to $1,000 a
yep.
year, part of that will be that you'll get our insider newsletter or our President's Circle
yes.
Email alerts on breaking events around our issue.
Perfect.
My guest is Larry Sharp. He's the director of NeoSage. We are going to take a break. And of course, Larry joins us after this break. And also after this break, Tony's Take Two.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. We're right around 32 minutes after. It's roughly 1:32 Eastern Time. So it's time for Tony's Take Two. Last week, I couldn't do the show because I was doing podcast interviews at the National Conference on Philanthropic Planning. That's why we had an archive edition of the show last week. Did six interviews in conjunction with The Chronicle of Philanthropy. These are interviews that will be coming up on upcoming shows. But just to give you a little sense of some of the people we talked to, one of the subjects was red flags in planned giving, and that was Aviva Bedeker. What to look out for in planned giving. We all know I'm a planned giving fundraising consultant, so I'm the first to say planned giving can be an outstanding way to build endowment or in other ways just help your nonprofit long term. But there are some technical sides to planned giving, and you do need to be careful. And Aviva Bedeker raised some of those red flags for us in that interview. Endowment management strategies. My interviewee there, along with the Chronicle of Philanthropy, was Catherine Myrie, sharing methods and techniques for keeping your endowment safe. We had two Washington, D.C. insiders, an attorney and a lobbyist, Emily Lamb and Perry Wasserman. Perry Wasserman is actually the lobbyist for the host organization for that conference, which is the Partnership for Philanthropic Planning. He's their lobbyist. Emily Lamb is an attorney in Washington with Skadden Arps and used to, before that, was with the Treasury Department working on in the tax area. And our subject with Emily and Perry was how legislation and the regulatory environment is going to be affecting fundraising and nonprofits generally, especially with the elections coming up in just a couple of weeks. How to cripple your career in five easy steps. That was Robert Sharp of the Sharp Group. Crippling your career in five easy steps. That was really very interesting. A way of getting you to pay attention to your career. Also had Ann Melvin from Harvard University. She was talking about motivating and marketing to your planned giving donors. You can see my blog posts on each of these interviews at my blog, which is mpgadv.com. And you can also keep listening to the show for full interviews with each of these guests, because we'll have the full interviews broadcast. If you don't know when those are coming up, you wouldn't know, because I don't know yet. But when they do come up, you can find out by getting our Insider Weekly email alerts. Go to the Facebook page for the show and get those alerts. Of course, Facebook.com, and then it's Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, and you can sign up there for our Insider email alerts. In November, I'm going to be speaking at the Next Gen Charity Conference. That's here in New York City, but we're also going to be doing podcast interviews of more speakers from that conference. That's November 18th. We'll be doing the podcast interviews, and they'll be for broadcast on later shows. And then on the 19th, I'll be leading a workshop, PG and So Me, Planned Giving and Social Media, using social media to reach out to your planned giving donors. And that has special considerations because planned giving donors are typically 60 and over, but we know where they're going social media wise. Is it Facebook? Is it Twitter? We know, and I'll be sharing that in the conference. Also, I'm very pleased that I can offer you 20% off that Next Gen Charity Conference for listeners of the show. To get that 20% discount to the Next Gen Charity Conference, which is on November 18 and 19 in New York City, you can go to the blog or the Facebook page and look for that 20% off discount. My guest this week is Larry Sharp, and I'm really glad that we're spending the full hour talking about fundraising, sales training strategies to kickstart your fundraising. Larry is a corporate sales trainer and director of NeoSage, which is a consultancy that trains clients how to sell, fundraise, network, and influence effectively. Larry, we had been talking about direct mail and and newsletters and direct mail pieces. How about the telephone? How can we shift our thinking about fundraising in the way that you suggested and do this if we're doing telephone outreach?
Sure. Generally speaking, when you're doing the telephone, you're talking to people who've donated before. Now with the do not call list, it's difficult to do cold calling for not-for-profits. An exception might be, say, if you're doing your list for a college, maybe calling the alumni. That might be cold sometimes. But the exception of that, generally speaking, it's people who've donated before. The tactic here has to be, as soon as you call, you want to start giving them information right away. It's a, hey, Tony, how are you? It's live from XYZ Charity. This call is because... You don't want to say, just call in, just see in.
And it sounds apologetic.
Yes.
I'm sorry to be calling, but you're not saying that, but
none
it sounds like you're apologizing. And really, you should be calling straightforward.
That's correct.
You've got important news to share.
You don't want to train your donor base into thinking, I call just because. You want your donor base to think, I call because there's a reason. So as soon as you pick up the phone, hey, Tony, it's Larry at XYZ Charity. Here's why I'm calling. You should know XYZ. You should be aware of bump, 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 bump. Here's what's happening where you care. Boom, 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 boom. Whatever that is. Then go into a specific reason why you want the money. A specific reason. Such as, and because of this, we have a new initiative, Tony. And the new initiative is we're going to now take the kids to, you know, Niagara Falls because we know that's going to help them out. And the doctors are saying that's what we should do, blah, blah, blah. Look, to really help us out, to make this really happen, we need you to do Now, what's that The is at least double what you gave last time.
Okay.
So if you gave 250, it's at least 500. You may want to shoot 4,000, whatever it is, but you want to go for a very high number for your first ask, realizing most of the time you're going to get a no.
Okay.
The reason why you do the high ask at first is it's called the law of contrast. The influence law of contrast states, I will measure everything by the first thing I see. So when I first get 1,000, now 250 seems cheap. First see 250, 1,000 seems expensive.
So you're measuring the second number, which we'll get to.
Yes.
In contrast with the first, the law of contrast. So 250 seems like, as you said,
absolutely
small compared to 1,000.
So I'm going to ask for, I'm going to say, you know, to make this really happen, Tony, we really need you to help us out with $1,000. Can you do that, Tony? Now, odds are you're going to say no. Wow, but not like that. You're going to say, wow, it's a lot of money.
Because right, I'm a $200 donor.
Exactly.
Or I'm a $250 donor.
I'm a $250 donor. It's a lot of money for me. I'd love to. I can't right now. Times are tough. Whatever you're going to say. Then you're going to do, you're going to go to low and then medium. So it goes high, low, medium. And listen to my language in doing this.
Okay.
I'm going to ensure that you do not go lower than last year. That's the first thing I'm going to ensure. So no matter what, I'm still getting $250 out of you. So I start with $1,000. You say, I can't do it. You know what, Tony? I understand completely. You know, you could, if you want to, go back to what you did last year, which is 250. Here's what most people are doing for us that most people are doing will really help us a lot would be if you go 500. Can you do 500?
Okay.
Do you see what I just did?
Yes.
I said, you could go down to
250, but most people are
doing 500. Most people gave 250 last year are doing 500. Most people are, what would help us tremendously are a common amount, some word that invokes the law of social proof. Social proof means if other people are doing it, I should be doing it. So your language should invoke social proof. Others are doing it. What we're expecting, what we're seeing, what people are doing, the most common amount. Any
trend,
language.
You could be part of the trend.
Part of the trend, exactly.
In a different word. But
and we have to because each charity has their own culture. So the words I'm using may not function in your charity specifically. But use the language that your culture, the culture of a chapter can use that says that. That says other people are doing is a trend. It's common.
And you can be part of that trend.
Exactly correct.
And your strategy, you're offering people the ability to stay in the same at the same level.
Yes.
So you haven't minimized what they've done for you in the past,
mm-hmm.
saying you could stay there. But what most people are doing who are involved in this issue is going much higher without you saying much higher.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly right. So that's why you do it. So at a minimum, you're going to say, look, Larry, I love the charity. I love you guys. Let me stay at 250. Okay, great. Thanks, Tony. Let's do 250. So no matter what, you're not going below that. I'm getting something out of you, and you're not going lower. But with this tactic, the odds are if you can afford it, you'll go higher. Now, if you can't afford it, you can't afford it. I got it. Times are tough. Some people can't, you know, put the money out. But if you can afford it, you're going to go higher. If you can't, you'll go 250. And hopefully next year, you'll keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Until eventually, we hope every donor is over 1,000, over 10,000, over 100,000, we hope. Whatever we can get. The reality of it is they're not going to give more than they can afford anyway. But if they're at 250 from last year, they probably can give 250 again. So that's going to be we don't want to say, you know, last year gave 250 because then they say, well, you know, this year, can I just do 125 times a tough? Can I just do 100? And all of a sudden, before you know it, they're giving $10. So we start with the high number. So if you want to, you could stay there. But here's what most people are doing. Here's a trend. And hopefully more of them will go towards the raising from 250 to 500. That's our goal.
You've seen that. I mean, you see that
absolutely.
With your clients.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Should these calls be scripted?
Of course.
How do we prepare for
absolutely
these calls?
Absolutely, 100%. The people you want to use can be any. You can use anybody you want to do your fundraising. It's generally best if the people are part of the charity. Sometimes they don't do it. Sometimes they hire outsiders.
Now, not necessarily employees, right? Could be volunteers. Could
absolutely.
Motivated volunteers.
Somehow
could do well.
Part of the charity. Okay. Doesn't have to be, doesn't have to be an actual employee. Could be other donors. Could sure. be donors' kids. Could be anyone, someone who's somehow part of that team. This way, if the person begins to ask questions, they can say something. They can say, yes, I am part of this team. You know, my mother donates. And, you know, on the weekends, I sometimes go with the kids out to, you know, the orchestra or whatever is your charity, right? So I went there last year for the summer camp. So that means, okay, we're all together. It's instant rapport. We're part of the same team.
Yes, we have something in common. Yes,
absolutely.
Sure. Yes.
Better okay. chance. Now, again, you could hire outsiders, but that starts to go down a little bit. You don't gain that same rapport.
Okay.
So it's best that people who are somehow connected to part of the charity. Yes.
That's the who should
yes.
be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
How do we prepare these people?
We literally want them to have a one-sheeter, a page that is the exact script of what you want them to say in that order. You, in addition, want to have, at a minimum, a second sheet of paper, which is your rebuttal script, which is where you go when people tell you no, where you go when people give you excuses. And often this is not even used, but having those scripts there make the telemarketer feel like they have a safety blanket. See, people think we have to have the script there in the rebuttal sheet so that the person can use it. They can, but it's not necessarily used. It's there so they can feel more confident. If they okay. have a problem, I've got some place to go. If they're just up in the air, it becomes, yeah, well, becomes that. If they have a script, they can look at it, go through it, and if they don't need it, they can ignore it, but they know it's there. It gives them confidence. The rebuttal script should be there. And the most important thing, the wrap-up. Once the person says yes, there should be a script for the wrap-up. It should be great. Okay, is that going to be via our online? Oh, you are going online? Great. Please go to blah, 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 blah. Are you near a computer right now? Great. Could you log on too? That's all right there to do. If it's via it's a pledge, they're going to mail it, how to mail it, what to do with their sheet, should they send them something, if it's a credit card form, how do you fill that out, whatever the wrap-up is. And then, of course, at the end, you're going to – here's the most important thing. At the end, you want to provide benefits. This is so anti-nonprofit.
Okay,
what we
sure.
do instead is yeah. we thank them 25 times. Instead of thanking them 25 times, say something like this. Tony, this is so great. You given the $500, you know what's going to happen? These kids are going to get this, that, and this. And from last year, we know this, and this is going to happen. This is really great. You know what Tony will say? What will Tony say?
I feel fabulous about my
That's
gift.
That's exactly correct. Tony will say.
I probably wish I could have given more.
Yeah.
Right?
Can I write two checks? Oh, my
okay.
God. It's awesome.
Now
you
we're
know?
In
yes?
fundraising nirvana. But,
absolutely.
But
yes.
again, the outcome. You
yes.
want to share the outcome. Even before it's occurred.
Yes.
This is what your gift is going to do for us, right?
100%. This is the benefit you want to show. Then you can thank them. Then you can thank them. You are not allowed, not-for-profits, listen to me. You are no longer allowed to thank them until you first give them the benefit. Once they get the benefit and they go, wow, that's great. You're not going to say, thank you, Tony. It's really great. After, not before. Otherwise, they start to think, should I really give them $500? Thanking them early, believe it or not, increases buyer's remorse. Thanking them early actually lowers the chance they actually go through with the give. You will find just by changing that, the people who promise and then don't deliver, that gap gets smaller. Just by doing that. Thanking someone before you give benefit, thanking someone early actually increases buyer's remorse. Didn't doing you a favor. Maybe I should have gone 250. I'm not really sure. That begins to come into play. Hesitation. Hesitation in this economy means no. Or it means I just write $200 on it instead of my $500 I pledged. So all of a sudden you get a lower number. Something like that happens. So thanking them early literally lowers the amount of money you're getting in. Changing just that, you will see a difference.
But share the outcome, of course.
Please.
As soon as the person commits.
Yes.
And you've given them the pertinent information. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm with Larry Sharp. He's the director of NeoSage, and we're talking smart sales training strategies to kickstart your fundraising. We're going to take a break. And after the break, we'll come back, talk about email and maybe some goal setting also. How do you set your fundraising and your fundraising goals? All with Larry's advice from Sales Training Strategies. I'm Tony Martinetti, the host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. My guest is Larry Sharp. We're talking fundraising for the full hour. I think that was very interesting information about buyer's remorse and saying thank you too quickly and too often in the telemarketing calls. Larry, excellent. Thank you very much.
Of course.
Let's switch to email. What advice do you have around email?
Email's a great tool. There's some issues, though. The idea is people often send emails out weekly or monthly and think they're giving updates and they think they're helping. They're actually annoying their donor base. The reality of it is with emails, you want to do two types of emails. The one is maybe an ask, and that's okay. But if we do the ask, the rules of the mailing we talked about earlier are the same rules. Once a year, and then maybe once a quarter or so for a specific issue. Any other emails you send have to be one of two things.
Okay.
One, some really big issue that someone is going to care about specifically. Like, again, I care about Sammy the Shark and not Emma the Whale. You're going to send me the note about Sammy the Shark. Not about Emma the Whale, not about what's going on in the field, not about what's happening at my charity. In reality, I get too much email. I'm not going to read it. It's going to begin to annoy me. Delete, 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 delete. And when the important email comes in, I'm not going to read it. I'm going to think another one of these emails, delete. So either it's about Sammy the Shark, or it's that same idea, only every quarter, only once a year, same rules. The last thing is, if I have something very special that no one else, you know, that's really going to affect everything, like all of a sudden, you know, Bill Gates joins our charity, you know, something huge like that, send the email. But a monthly or weekly email, just because, will only annoy your donor base, and they'll begin to become immune to it, and they'll just shut off.
Your advice goes back to the importance of segmentation.
Yes.
You need to know what your donors are interested in so that you can push that information, and that's a web term, you know, push information out to them that they've expressed an interest in.
Absolutely.
I think we're in 2010, fast approaching 2011, we're past the days of here's what's new.
Right.
Here's what's happening, where it's not specifically targeted to the person's interest.
Absolutely true. Yes. Those are the rules on email.
Events. What about using events for fundraising?
Events, believe it or not, are really, really important. More important than people think. And they don't have to be huge gala events. They could be very small. If you have a good donor base, ask them to support the event in one of their buildings, one of their facilities, their home, their office, whatever the case may be. The reason why events are important are several. Number one is it creates camaraderie amongst the people in the charity. They feel like they're part of the team. When you can bring your donor base in and say, hey, look, these are the people who are going out there and, you know, cleaning off the seals, or, you know, save this person actually saved Emma, right?
Right.
He's the captain of the boat.
And again,
the case may
showing
be.
People that they're part of something bigger.
Absolutely.
We talked about the trend. You know, here's the trend in giving around when we talk about telemarketing. But you can see that you're part of a trend. You're
yes.
part of something, and here's palpable evidence. You're surrounded by all your all the people who are sympathetic to the same issue.
Yes, absolutely. So you want to do events for that reason. But the second reason is you want to share special information. This is when you want to do the corporate video that comes out before anyone else sees it. This is when you talk about the special plan or program you're going to put in place next year that no one else knows about. This is when you're going to share these items, the insider information that only we know. That's when you share. There's another reason why you do it. You want the donors to begin to see value in networking. If the donor base are business owners or sales reps or people who want to do business and bring relationships to their world, to their firms, to other charities that they may support, if they start seeing value in donating, then they want to be part of the process. They want to be part of this organization. They see additional value. Now, this turns off a lot of nonprofits. They can't stand the idea of having an event and people doing business there. That turns some people off. Well, time to turn back on, because it's a very important reason why people get together. And if all of a sudden I start seeing that when I go to your events, there are some heavy hitter donors there that I can somehow benefit either my personal family, my personal fortune, my emotional, I have vendors I can use. Somehow I can benefit from being around these people. I'm going to keep donating.
What's interesting there is that is exactly what nonprofits do recognize around board membership.
Yes.
They're always recruiting people who can do business together, and the more powerful their board, the more powerful people they'll be able to recruit to the board.
100%.
But why is that limited to the board? Right?
Absolutely. You're totally right. In fact, if you can get board members to show up and twist their arms and get them to show up at the events, you get more people who just want to see the board members.
Yes.
They just want to see the board members. So even then, more people showing up, more camaraderie, more almost I'm part of this team, and more loyal donors who will keep donating every year and assist you, volunteering, allowing you to use their facilities, their homes, et cetera, et cetera.
Larry, we have just about 90 seconds or so left together. What about goal setting, fundraising goal setting? Can you give us just a couple of tips on how we can do that?
Well, what you want to do, and this is the difficult thing, you have your individual fundraisers. You actually want them to come up with their own goals. This is what's odd. People usually do it from the top down. I actually do it from the bottom up. Who are the people who are in charge of fundraising? Are they? Do you have a fundraising director? Do you have actual telemarketer people? Do you have, you know, print shops? Who are you using? Ask them what they think they can do. And then give them a nudge. What if we do better? What if we do better? What can be a good goal? Why do we do that? We want the people at the bottom to take ownership of the goal themselves. Again, I want to do it. I'm part of this. I'm a volunteer. I'm going to make 25 phone calls. I'm going to call at 4:45. I have to make this goal. Get the people at the bottom to start to give you the idea, and from that, build your goal.
All right. Top up. Bottom up.
Yep.
My guest has been Larry Sharp. He is the director of NeoSage. Again, that's NEO-SAGE.com, an influence training center in New York. I want to thank Larry very much for being on the show and coming to the studio.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Pleasure having you, Larry. Something on Larry's website from Dale Carnegie I found. We are not people of logic. We are people of emotion. That's a sort of that's a paraphrase of a Dale Carnegie quote, but I think it sums up what Larry is talking about, the reason people give and how you can motivate that emotion in them. Next week, I don't know who's going to be on next week. We're not confirmed. So that's why you should get the insider alerts from the Facebook page. Go to the Facebook page, sign up for our alerts, and you'll find out the moment I find out who next week's guest is going to be. And that's at Facebook.com, Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. You'll also see my live appearances there. The creative producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is Claire Meyerhoff. Always grateful for her help in directing the show and giving advice around creative ideas and timing of the show. Thank you very much, Claire. Our line producer and the owner of Talking Alternative Broadcasting is Sam Leibowitz. And our Facebook and social media for the show is done by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. I'm Tony Martinetti, the host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Even though we don't know who the guest will be next week, join us next week, Friday, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting, right where you are right now at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please join us starting Monday, May 2nd at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Please tune in and call as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
TalkingAlternative.com.